Hello,
and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 169, the end of summer episode. I'm sitting on my porch. It is just a jungle of noise here right now. We've got the cicadas, of course, who at the end of the summer are just so loud. I think it's like a sort of one last big song before they die, I think. So that's kind of sad. Of course, right now we've got an airplane going overhead. I don't know why. And someone, of course, is using this very beautiful Sunday morning, August 22nd, 2015, by the way, to, I don't know, blow leaves, cut something down, basically just make the rest of us miserable. It's probably just me. I'm probably the only one sitting outside. But there are probably people taking walks and thinking, wow, if you could have only waited till late this afternoon, or never, just let those weeds grow, let the trees live, leave the leaves where they are. It's not a leaf blower. Maybe it is. It's really irritating. Anyway, let's not start off the podcast with complaints and whining. Let's stop that. Okay, stopping. Hello. It's the end of the summer, and we go back to school Tuesday. We, meaning Will and Jack, not myself. I will not be going back to work. I will be continuing work. I have been writing a great deal, which is not actually good for this time of year, because when I'm writing, when I'm very deeply involved in a project, the rest of my life kind of falls apart. Not my marriage or anything. Kids don't start, you know, going out racing in the streets after dark. It's not like that, but it's more like the house is a mess. I'm unorganized. I can't really get my act together to figure out what needs to be done. Fortunately for Jack, who starts his junior year this year, he takes a very low-key approach. They don't, in our fine school's upper school, have any requirements for supplies. You just, I think, other than depending on what math you're taking, you might need to have a particular kind of calculator. But otherwise, you're good. Bring your notebook. And Jack last year seemed to have like two notebooks he carried for all his classes, and that was fine. And he got everything written down that he needed written down. And yeah, every once in a while I needed to buy him some new pencils. We're big on mechanical pencils in this family. So every once in a while I give him some new pencils, and he was good to go. But Will is in the middle school, and they still send out supply lists at the end of the summer saying, here's what each of your child's teachers wants. And just like, you know, when I went to school, which admittedly was a really, really long time ago, when I was in seventh grade, I had a notebook. It had jean fabric. And it might have even been a Levi's notebook. It's possible because there was a pocket on the front of my denim notebook. And I can almost imagine it having a little red tag. I could be making that up. But it was a denim notebook. I had that. It had loose leaf paper inside and a pencil pouch. And that's what I carried. We didn't carry backpacks. We just carried our books piled on top of our binders. And, you know, so back to school, it was fun to do back to school shopping, but it was like, get a new binder, get a new pencil pouch, get some loose leaf paper. You're good to go. It was really, truly that. So now it's like, you know, it's not even like crazy stuff. It's like, for this class, we'll need a 1-inch white binder with racing stripes around the front and then onto the spine of the binder, but not to the... It's just like, why? Can't my just kid bring a couple notebooks? Anyway, back to school. Back to the routine. I got an email from my friend Barbara, who listens to this podcast. And she said that, and her children are grown. And she said she always remembered this time of year feeling both happy finally to get back in the routine, but kind of sad to leave the lazy days behind. And that's pretty much how I feel. We've had a nice summer. The boys have been fine. You know, Jack was out of town for a little bit at camp. Will has been very, very lazy, but it has been fine. In days of yore, he kind of would get into a summer funk about this time of summer, and he really hasn't this year. So we've had a nice summer. The weather's been beautiful, and so you kind of hate to give it up. On the other hand, we need a routine. I need a routine. We all need a routine. So back we go. I need to make this intro short, one, because I've got a couple of quilt diaries and they're kind of long, and also my recorder shows that I actually only have about 20 minutes left of space on my little recorder, and I have to figure out why that is. I don't know. Maybe someone's been sneaking off with this at night and recording secret messages. I'll find out later. But I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on the last episode, the front porch episode, and that would include Noni, who shared a list of other podcasters that she's following, sort of non-crafty, no, some crafty ones, but also non-crafty ones. Heard from Carmit. I want to say this. What Carmit says, she's agreeing me with Bollipop's pre-cuts being badly cut. What I realized when I went back to Thimble Pleasures, I think I say this in the quilt diaries, but I'll reiterate, that the cuts that I got, the pre-cuts that I got, were not Bollipop. They are called Batavian Jewels by WilmingtonPrints.com. And that, so although now we know that I wasn't exactly wrong to say Bollipops were not well cut, because Carmit tells me that they are poorly cut, badly cut. But those were not the actual pre-cuts I was using. So I guess we just need to be careful with pre-cuts. If anyone has a recommendation, the highest quality pre-cuts are thus. And so, let me know. I'd like to hear that. Let's see. I heard from Kelly the Fifth. I mentioned last time about watching Miss Potter again for the 20 millionth time. And she says Miss Potter is her favorite comfort movie. What is your favorite comfort movie? We should have a poll. What's your favorite comfort movie? I am actually now, this is not a comfort movie, it's a comfort show, rewatching for I don't know what time, the first season of Gilmore Girls. The first season of Gilmore Girls is so fun. It's such a great fantasy town, Stars Hollow. The dialogue is fun. The house that Lorelai and Rory live in is like my dream house. And it's, you know, it's convoluted, but at the same time, the relationships feel real, the people feel real, and I realize as you go on in the series, it doesn't feel real anymore. It becomes so plot-oriented that they lose a lot in the characters. That's the problem, you know, if you're a storyteller, you've got to get that balance between plot moving the story along and characters staying true to themselves. And that's a thing for me as a viewer, as a reader, that drives me crazy, is when characters do stuff that they wouldn't do, or characters are put in situations they wouldn't really find themselves in just to kind of move the story along. But the first season of Gilmore Girls is so delightful. And so I've been watching that as I do, I have done a little bit to get ready for school. I'm also finishing up my friend Dave's quilt. I mentioned him last week. He's our friend who's very ill and in home hospice care at this point. And I actually just have to hand sew the binding to the back, and it'll be done. And I'm going to do that this weekend. It's a Saturday right now, by the by. And I'm taking the day off writing to kind of get things together, but certainly to finish that quilt. And so I've been watching Gilmore Girls while I've been working on that. And also I am trying to update my calendars. I do that same, I use the Sandra Boynton mom's calendar, which is actually a September to September calendar. Is that right? It's a year and a half calendar, or maybe it's not. Whatever it is, it's what I use, and I like it, and I love Sandra Boynton. And so I'm in the process of getting all the stuff from the school calendar onto my calendar, and all the birthdays and all the stuff that I do. So I start my new calendar in September. So I am doing that and watching Gilmore Girls. So that's a great comfort watch for me. What's yours? Let's see. Heard from Suzanne. And she mentioned, because I was asking about podcasts, in her opinion, the best knitting podcast is The Knitting Pipeline with Paula. And Suzanne, I used to listen to that. I forgot all about that. And that was really good. And she's a good podcaster. I didn't realize she was still podcasting, so I will have to check her out. Thank you for reminding me. Heard from Jay. Lots of good stuff from Jay. She reminds me I need to update my blog roll, and I will, because some of them I haven't updated it in a long time, and I need to go through and see who's still blogging, who's not. By the way, Jay mentions that she did a review on her wonderful blog, artquiltmaker.com, of Victoria Finley Wolfe's Double Wedding Ring Quilt Book, and it is a really good review. I went to read it, and the link is in Jay's comment, but also, if I'm really on my game, I will put the link on the show notes. I'm also going to try, for Noni's sake and for others, to put the link to the actual podcast in my show notes. I'm not technologically inclined. I don't know if this is a technological thing, but Noni has informed me that a lot of people now, they download their podcasts through different means other than iTunes, and there's one called Stitcher. I need to check this out. Guys, if I'm going to, like, do this whole quilt book thing, I have got to up my game. I really do. And, you know, I've been talking for however long now. I do need to build a new website, and that will be one of my fall projects. It's building a new website, and I need to figure out what's going on with stuff like Stitcher. And I may need to upgrade my podcast a little bit. Just, you know, bring in some music, maybe have actual parts to it. I don't know. You know, and I think there may be some of you applauding as you hear this, going, thank God, you ramble so much. I came here to hear about quilting. I understand, ladies, I do. Yeah, but anyway, so I'm going to try to remember to actually post a link to my Podbean site. So if you are not uploading through iTunes, you know what to do. Anyway, thank you, Jay, for your fabulous book. I mentioned your fabulous book, your fabulous comment, and I looked at she was mentioning Sarah Addison Allen's book, books, which she likes a lot, and I think I discovered Sarah Addison Allen through Jay. Now, I think in the last episode I mentioned First Frost, which I had started and was really, really enjoying. I should never recommend books that I haven't finished, and it's not that at any point it gets bad, but it gets unwieldy. She's got too many plots going on, and you know, I really like her writing. I think she's delightful. I think she needs a better editor, someone who can really, I have the feeling that she's young. She's written a number of books, so it's not that she's inexperienced, but at least with this book, I feel like at this point in her career, she needs to be able to do better with plot. I should not get 2/3 way through the book and start losing interest and start seeing the seams of the story showing, and I feel like I'm seeing that. And that is a problem if you're a writer or a novelist and you're reading other books. You do see how the machine works. I mean, you do as readers too, I'm not saying. I, being a more sophisticated reader than you, it's not that. But, you know, you're very aware of the choice, that the writer, that there is a writer behind the story, the writer's making choices, and you're kind of going, huh, I don't know if I would have made that choice. So, anyway, but I do, Jay says that her favorite Sarah Addison Allen is The Girl Who Chased the Moon, and I need to see if I've read that. There are several that I've read and just thought were delightful. So anyway, let's see. So thank you, Jay. Thank you from Kristen, who says that she forgot about Angry Chicken. I mentioned that as a blog I've recently returned to. Both she and Kelly the Fifth mentioned blogs that they liked, Nana Company, NanaCompany, and Pretty by Hand, and Minky's Work Table at Minky, MinkiKim, Kim.com. So maybe, again, if I'm going to be a good podcaster, I could make a list of all these links for you on the show notes. Heard from Sherry D. She is reading a new blog called Curvy Sewing Collective, curvysewingcollective.com. And this is a garment sewing blog. And I talk about this, not that, but something else. Sherry D and I are trying to do a Dresden Plate quilt along. I am doing a very poor job in administering this. I'm so sorry, Sherry D. I'm so sorry. But maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll revive it. Maybe I'll get revived. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I heard from Angela of Trixie's Tales. I didn't hear from Trixie, although... Angela, I do kind of wish your name was Trixie, because it would be fun to have a friend named Trixie, but I'm going to call you Angela. She talks about podcasts, other than the ones we know, like Quilting for the Rest of Us, but also Stuff You Should Know. Apparently Noni gave her the nudge on that one. And Vegetarian Zen. And I need to check that out, because I'm becoming more and more vegetarian in my dotage. So... heard from Colleen. Colleen's up in Canada. They are getting heat advisory warnings because the heat is going up. The temperature is going up to 86 degrees. Ah, Canada, how I love you. And I heard from my dear friend Debbie Kidd, who I got to meet in person last fall. Debbie, was it that long ago? And she was in Palm Springs recently. 114 degrees. Debbie is headed to QuiltCon 2016. I think she goes... Debbie, you went last year, or this year. She's a QuiltCon girl, and you know what? You need to write us a report. I would love to hear. I would love to go. I know. I'm hoping that maybe next year, and maybe I've heard this, it's coming east. Fingers crossed. I would love to go. But you tell us. I don't think I'll go in 2016, so it's up to you to report. All right, my dears, I think that's all my comments, and I thank all of you for taking the time. Got a nice email from Sally talking, giving me her experience, or really her mom's experience with solar tubes, all positive. Colleen also said her parents have solar tube, so I'm getting some good feedback on that with which to prepare my case to the man that we need more light in this house. I think I'm just going to get on with the quilt diaries. I have so much more to say, but I think I said a lot in the Quilt Diaries already, so we need to move on, and you need to let me hear from you. Off-Kilter Quilt, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or F. Dowell, as in Francis Dowell, at NC, as in North Carolina, fdowell@nc.rr.com. Email me. Leave a comment. If you haven't left a review, I never think to say this, but if you haven't left a review over in the iTunes review box for the Off Kilter Quilt, please do so. If you have lovely, wonderful things to say that won't crush my spirit, that would be great. I would love to hear from you. I hope you will hear from me again soon, but now, in fact, you will, because we're heading into the Quilt Diaries. Let's go. Quilt Diary. Day one. It is Monday, August 10th, 2015. It's my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. And I'm actually inside. It's evening, and I'm going to move outside. I know that it freaks some of you out to hear the cicadas, but I think it's really kind of beautiful and weird, sort of in a science fiction movie kind of way. Don't be afraid. They're real bugs, but they're actually pretty small, and I don't think they're trying to eat me. But I'm inside because I want to remember a couple things to tell you. And since I'm looking at my computer right now, and it's open to my email, which has several Facebook notifications from the Twilters, because Lori has started a Facebook page for the Twilters, which a lot of us are very happy about, because any number of people who are on Twitter, the Twilters who are on Twitter, actually kind of have a preference for Facebook. And the only reason that we're really twiltering on Twitter is because we like the community. So now, the wonderful Lori has started a group on Facebook called Twilters. It's a closed group. But you can ask for permission to join. And I asked Lori if this was okay. This is Lori Thompson. She started the group, and I'm assuming that she is managing the group, but I could not say for sure. In any event, I asked her if it was okay if I announced this on
the podcast that the Twilters group is up. And I guess one way to find it is to just search for it. I'm going to try this. If I search for Twilter, well, mine, it comes up Twilters. Okay, here's what you got to do. Do Twilters exclamation point. Okay, now, because I see there's an artist group called Twilters, and that's Twilter apostrophe S. And in fact, whoops, sorry. Excuse my noisy computer. See, that's so much worse than cicadas, I think. Yes, and Twilters, these Twilters, and it's under the category of artist, the apostrophe S Twilters. These are Twilight lovers, and this appears to be in Espanol. Okay, so that's not the group you want to join, unless you are, in fact, someone who enjoys Twilight in Espanol. You want the Twilters, no apostrophe S. And hopefully, Lori will let you in. So that's the one thing I want to tell you. The other thing I just want to mention, I'm listening to a podcast right now. And I think I've mentioned the podcast itself, which is the Crafty Planner. Yes, the Crafty Planner podcast, which I have enjoyed a great deal. In the short time that it's been up, I think she just started this spring. And I haven't listened to every single episode, but I have listened to lots. And she talks with craftspeople, primarily quilters, but not entirely quilters, I don't think. In any event, this week's episode that came out yesterday, she interviews Jackie Gehring, who is, I think at this point, the president of the Modern Quilt Guild, and certainly a very important person in that movement. And it's a really interesting interview. So check that out. I just wanted to mention it. Noni recently posted a link to the various podcasts that she's listening to and the blogs that she's following. And I'm going to do my best to repost that on the show notes. Along with Noni informs me that I should be also posting a link to my Podbean page that not everyone gets there. Podcast via iTunes. Now that's pretty much the only way I get my podcast, so I did not know that it was necessary to link to my Podbean site. Okay, now we're unlocking the back door, going out to the porch. Here comes Travis, who loves the porch. Ah, here's the cicadas. It is about 8 o'clock. The man is at work. He, as I have mentioned here before, his work involves covering the state legislature for a news outlet. And on Monday nights, when the legislature is in session, they meet on Monday night. They're coming in from all over the state, and the man is over there at the state house. So Monday night is French toast night for the boys. I usually have a big salad with chicken. And right now, Will is over at his friend Gavin's playing soccer. Will is a soccer convert. He plays at recess. I don't think he has ever played on a soccer team, but he and his friends play at recess at school. And apparently, his friends tell him that he's a very good goalie, and he is starting seventh grade. And in this middle school, that's when you can start playing team sports, and the soccer team is one of the teams you don't actually have to try out for. I don't know why. I guess they just can have a really big team. So he's going to be on the soccer team. He's going to play soccer. And, Will is just kind of a good athlete in general. So I believe that, he, even though he's not been playing since he was 3 years old, that he will be good enough to make a contribution to the team. And the man and I are kind of patting ourselves on the back because it's like, oh, good, we get a soccer player. Will gets to do a sport in early fall, and a school sport in early fall, which means basically we'll go to some games, but there'll be a lot of games that are after school, away games where they get on the bus and go, and we will not go those games. And so he gets to have fun playing soccer, and we do not have to sit through soccer games. Excuse me, for the last 11 years to get to this place. So, we're feeling kind of, pretty good about that.
Anyway, so his friend Gavin, who I've mentioned many times on this podcast, lives across the street from a big field. It's actually, he lives across the street from the lower and upper school campuses of Durham Academy, which is where my kids go. And one of the fields, it's actually, it's a soccer field. I don't know if they have more than one. I don't know. See, I know nothing about soccer over there. But I know that it's also the field where the girls play field hockey. And they play soccer. The boys may play soccer there as well. I don't know. I don't really care. I just am really glad for Will to be out on a really nice summer evening playing soccer with his friend. That's all that matters to me. Out there with the cicadas. Yes. Because, you know, I have to say, and this is a kind of a sad thing about my children's childhood, just given the neighborhood we live in, that they do not have the same experience of summer nights that I had, and I think the man had as well. Oh, dag, the AC's coming on. Well, for those of you who are freaked out by the cicadas, they may be overwhelmed by the air conditioning. Anyway, but, you know, for me, it was like, I mean, really up until, I think almost all the way up until high school, when it was summer, you just left the house after dinner, and you didn't come back until it got dark, or your mom started yelling, or in case of my mom, ringing the cowbell. Yeah, she had a cowbell, and you'd hear the cowbell, and you had to go home. But you just ran around all night with the neighborhood kids. But in this neighborhood, we don't have kids. Now, I hear rumors of neighborhoods where the kids do that, where they run around and have a great time. But in general, I think things have changed a lot. So I'm really happy that Will, he's been going over for the last couple weeks, he's been going over to Gavin's house, and they go over to this field and they run around and play soccer, and then they cross the street again back to Gavin's house and mess around outside until it's time for me to go pick him up or for Gavin's mom to drop him off. And I'm just really pleased he's getting to know the pleasure of a nice summer evening. And I have to say, the weather continues to be amazing. Not that I care about the weather or am affected by the weather in any way, good or bad. But it's like today, I think the high was like 83, which is bizarre. I mean, if it is, you know, sometimes it's like, well, is climate change real? And you're kind of thinking, oh, this is climate change. But, you know, it is a little odd. It's a little odd that it's going to go back up into the low 90s, which is still really quite pleasant for this time of year, where it's really not uncommon for it to be like a hideous 98. It's not been a bad summer. Not been a bad summer at all, weather-wise. Were I the kind of person affected by weather, which I'm not. Anyway, what caused me to actually pick up the recorder and start recording tonight is I've been thinking about quilt guilds. And the reason for that is that I've been thinking about smaller quilt shows. So, you know, I'm working on this book, the one that I'm not publishing with AQS. And what I have not talked about is I actually have another book. I do. I haven't finished it. It has, amazingly, it's got I've written 230 pages of this book. It's a quilting book. It's contemporary, unlike the book I'm working on now, which is historical fiction. And now I don't remember why I didn't finish the first one before starting this one, although that is kind of an occupational hazard for writing, for writers, and, you know, quilters, right? I mean, come on, you understand that impulse. But, you know, obviously these books, these quilting novels, they're almost like extracurricular activities because, you know, my day job is writing for children, and I have contracts, and and I need to finish books in order to fulfill my contracts and make a living. And of course, I enjoy it. I mean, it sounds so mercenary, like, oh, the only reason I do it is I've got a, you know, gun in my head, and if I don't fit, it's like, this is what I love doing and have made a really good career doing. And it does mean that these books have precedence over other projects. But, you know, there are gaps between books. And so that during those gaps is when I pick up the quilting books. I'm hoping to finish a draft of each of these quilting books, the contemporary one and the historical fiction. I'm hoping by spring of 2016. hard to say. I've got a couple other projects that I need to finish up, and again, we'll take precedence. But it's possible in the interstices I will be able to work on the quilting novels. So my first quilting novel that I have 230 pages on is actually set up in the mountains of North Carolina, but it's contemporary, and it's sort of one of these stories where the main character, whose name is Emma, her family moves from Chapel Hill, which is in the area I live in, up to the mountains. In part, her husband is an engineer and gets a, you know, and gets a job up there. He works for the state, helping construct roads and better way. And the new job he gets is, you know, up in the mountains. There are a lot of rocks falling. So, you know, so making roads safe is making the keeping the rocks off the road and all of that. It's a big job. And so anyway, so he gets a new job, and because they've wanted to sort of leave suburbia and leave the pressures and stresses of modern day contemporary life and move to a simpler place. And so they move up to the mountains of North Carolina, a place where I've spent a lot of time. And Emma, before she moves up there, is not a quilter, but she finds a quilt, an old quilt in her attic. And as she, when she takes it to the local quilt store, they suck her in to quilting, and you know, they get her into the cult of quilt making. So anyway, I really probably have 50 more pages to write, so I should finish this, but. Back to the original point of the story is one of the things I've been thinking about is when I actually have a book done, and it would actually be great to have two books done and publish them, and then what's the best way to market them? And there are a lot of different things to do in this day and age, and there's a lot of stuff you can do via the internet, and you know, and I'm sure I will be coming to you through this podcast to say, help me make connections and what, you know, and give me some ideas, that sort of thing. So there will be lots and lots of stuff done online, but I also will probably try to do stuff, actual, you know, pounding the pavement sort of things. And one of the things the man and I have talked about is going to quilt shows and you know, getting a vending booth and just selling books, hand selling. So I thought, well, you know, and I don't know if this will be a hugely successful thing, you know, project or not. But it's like it's something we should start thinking about now, especially if we think we might have a book or both books ready to take to market to the public, ready to publish by next summer. In North Carolina, there are a fair number of quilt shows in the summer, and there are a ton in the fall. But, you know, now is the time when you think about that. So I've been, you know, just this afternoon I spent time researching, like, what are the big North Carolina quilt shows coming up in 2016. And not the super big. Those would be more expensive to buy a vending booth at or rent space from. I also can't really see going to a four-day quilt festival or quilt, you know, exposition or whatever, expo. Quilting and Sewing Expo for 4 days. I really can't actually see doing one more than 2 days for a couple hours at a time. But again, this is what we have to see. Is that a good way to get the word out? Is it a good way to do some book selling to start, you know, just getting, not just getting the books out, but getting the word out? So a lot of the sort of smaller and medium-sized shows are actually put on by guilds. And you probably know that, and you may be part of a guild that does a show. There's some very small quilt shows that guilds do. But, you know, it's like the Asheville Quilt Guild. I think it's a pretty big guild, and they do a pretty big show every year. Now, the guild I'm in, the Durham Orange Quilters, they do a show every other year. It's, you know, and it's not a huge show. It's probably on the line, I don't know, I don't have a huge amount of experience with this, but on the line between small and medium, I don't know. I've been to shows that are smaller, but the last one was not overwhelming. This and this is actually what's taking me to my point, that there is a quilt guild in Raleigh. It's called the Capital City, it might be Capital City Quilters, and Raleigh being the capital of North Carolina. And I thought, you know, I wonder if there's any big shows in Raleigh, because from time to time there are. So I looked it up and ended up getting taken to the Capital City Quilters webpage because they are hosting the North Carolina Quilt Symposium in June of 2016. I am fairly sure that the Quilt Symposium, that this is not their signature show, but in fact the Quilt Symposium moves across the state because I'm pretty sure this year it was up in the mountains, although I can't remember quite where, but I remember looking at it and thinking about going. But and it was in May, late May. It was like my birthday weekend, I think. And I'm pretty sure that in 2013 it was on the coast. It was like in Wilmington. So that's my sense, that a larger guild hosts it. And it's a big thing, and they get lots of teachers, and they get big-name teachers who come out. So anyway, my interest in this quilt show led me to the Capital Quilters website, and I have to say, it's really good. And they have their newsletters up on the website, and their newsletters were wonderful. And I just got our Quilt Guild newsletter via email, I think yesterday, and it's kind of it's not a great newsletter. And the guild itself, I haven't made friends there, but I haven't made an effort to make friends there, but people do seem very nice. And you know, there's usually a good number. I feel like typically it's like 60, 75 people there. But with the exception of the Pepper Corey presentation, which was when? March or April? Like the people that they get, it's not, the present, they're not great. You know, it's like, so last time it was the woman from the Modern Quilt Guild, and she was quite lovely, and her quilts were quite lovely, but she didn't actually, like, have a great presentation about modern quilting or modern quilts. I mean, there's so much you could say. There's a really cool, neat presentation you could do, and she had a PowerPoint presentation with a couple of screens worth of, here's what modern quilting is, and here's what some of the influences are. And, you know, and enough, certainly, if you didn't know anything about modern quilting, it would have given you a fairly good idea of where modern quilting is coming from. But it wasn't anything. It was just sort of like your neighbor from down the street came over and talked to you a little bit, like, yeah, I'm into this modern quilt thing, and I've been doing it for a year and a half now. I thought of that listening to the Jackie Gehring interview on the Crafty Planner podcast. It's a good interview, and it's interesting, and she seems like just a big-hearted, generous person. But, you know, I recall it's like she's not been quilting that long. I think she took up quilting about the same time I did, maybe a couple of years earlier. So that is interesting about modern quilting, and I think it is the good thing. I think I probably talked about this many times, that it's a way into quilting that allows you some very early success. If you have a good sense of color, if you have a good sense of space and design, you can make some pretty good, you know, pretty cool quilts right off the bat. Anyway, so the woman from the Modern Quilt Guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, there was that, and before that there was just this group of quilters from a very long-running Quilting Bee in Hillsboro, and they were certainly nice, and they showed really neat quilts, and they were certainly charming. But I was looking at the Capital Quilters Quilt Guild, and who they had pretty well established people coming in and talking, and I'm like, when I think about it's like, well, how does that all work? I mean, what makes one quilt guild seems so sort of attractive and really cool? I mean, I really thought, you know what, I should join that. Except that, yeah, I know that in winter I would never go, right? I mean, it's just far. I think the meetings are probably about 30 minutes away. And in this area, you know, people drive 30 minutes to get to stuff. It's not the hugest deal in the world, but I did think, wow, that just really looks like, you know, reading the news, and I'm like, oh, that looks fun, that's neat. Oh, they have like secret pals and have these exchange, you know, all the stuff that they're doing. It's like, that seems like so much fun, and tons of sort of extracurricular classes and bees, and oh, I'm like, oh, they look like they're having a great time, and they're just over in Raleigh, they're not that far. But, you know, one of the, I think, not just looking at the Capital Quilters Guild, but looking at other quilting guild websites, clearly that is some place where I think guilds need to figure it out, you know? And I understand it's like quilters trend older, and I'm 51 and I couldn't build a website. Now I have a husband and two sons who could, right? But that, you know, that's a skill that I think probably, you know, it'd be good to have some quilters in their 30s or 40s who would volunteer to take on building the website. But I think for any organization, having a good website makes a huge difference. And the Durham Orange one is pretty, there's not much going on. There really isn't. It doesn't, you know, and their newsletters, which are really not much to read, are not posted online. You know, it's, I guess that's just a, that, you know, it's one of the few benefits of membership is that you get this newsletter. So, you know, but, and that's another thing. It's like, so, you know, now not having someone who can build a website is understandable, but not having someone who can really put together a newsletter, I just don't know. And I don't know the organization well enough. I haven't been active enough in it to know how it works, to know why, what the struggles are, why they're not, why they don't have a good website, why they don't have a good newsletter, why this programming is not that great. And it may be that they don't have enough interest when they do get a really good teacher in. Maybe the workshops aren't filling up, or maybe they just don't have a lot of money for getting really good presenters to come in. But yeah, it was funny to have a little guild envy. And, you know, even looking at some of these smaller guilds, they just kind of look funner. And some of it, you know, there must be, like, just optimal sizes. And you know, because I think, and I think this could be that way with churches, where sometimes if you have a really small church, people are very close, and that's a really nice size. And if you have really, you know, sort of, I like the size of the church we're going to now. Because it seems like it's not too big where you feel lost, but it's not so small that, you know, introverts just feel like inundated with too much interest from other people in the congregation. But I don't know. So I wonder for guilds if there's just, there's an optimal either small size, which is nice because everybody is friends, and really, you know, and really enjoy each other and get to know each other, or a size where it's so big that there's just a lot of, you know, there's enough money to do a lot of stuff. And maybe with, I think the Durham Orange Quilt Guild, yeah, I feel like they've got maybe 125, 150 dues paying members, and dues are $25 a year, maybe 30. I think they've gone up to 30. Anyway, so I don't know. But yeah, I felt some guild envy looking at, especially the Capital Quilters Guild. They just looked fabulous, all the things they were doing. So anyway, I'll keep you up to date on my various marketing ploys, but I think that if we're hoping to get at least one book out by next summer, if not earlier, it all just depends. That's the kind of stuff that we, and by we, I mean me and the man, have to really start thinking about now. Quilty-wise, from a active, hands-on quilting perspective, the thing I want to tell you is I've been working on two smaller quilts. One is a secret until next week, probably by the end of this podcast. And then one is for my friend Dave, who is ill. And I'm finishing the quilting on one. And here's something, I read it in a magazine, maybe American Patchwork and Quilts. Is that what that's called? Of course, I just want to call it American Patchwork and Pacifiers. Oh, how I missed that podcast. But I think it's American Patchwork and Quilts, which doesn't really make sense. If that is what the magazine is called, I don't think that makes sense at all. American Patchwork and Quilts. Why is there an and? Why are those considered two separate things? I just don't know. Anywho. You know, but, and I think, because that's probably, other than Quilters Newsletter, the quilting magazine I read the most. So I suspect it was in that, but, you know, there's always little sections for tips. They used to, you know, those tips sections, they used to pay. Like first, you know, for a long time, not necessarily in these magazines, but, you know, like women's magazines, like Women's Days. Like, send us your tip and you'll get 20, if we publish it, you'll get $25. And then, you know, and I suspect that they used to do that in the quilt magazines. And then, you know, in women's magazines, like, send us your tip, we'll give you a free, win a free subscription. But in quilt, in like America, now there's no mention of that. It's just like, kind of send us your tip, and your payment will be us publishing your tip. All right, that, you know, in the age of where you can publish anything you want, anytime, anywhere, I'm not sure what the thrill is, but maybe there could be some thrill helping out your friends, helping out anonymous quilters all over. And somebody posted a tip, or had a tip published, which they said, you know, go ahead and do your binding at the beginning of the quilt. You know, and I thought, that is such a good idea. And I actually have done that. Because, and I've talked about it here before, how you get to the, you finish your quilt top, you make the quilt sandwich, you're quilting, you finish quilting, and depending on the quilt, that takes a couple days, or it takes a couple months, but you finish it, and just like, all right, and then you think, I gotta make the binding, and it's not even that big of a deal to make the binding, but it's big enough. And I don't know how I managed to forget that every time, that yes, you are not done when you're done with the actual machine quilting. You still have to make binding, and you still have to put on the binding. So I thought, that's a really good tip. Just make the binding at the beginning when you're still very energized for the project. And it doesn't seem like a big deal. And also you get the endorphin rush of, I'm getting ahead on something. So I've done that. I made the binding, and it feels good. It feels really good. So I just wanted to share that with you. Make the binding. Oh, man, I hope I'm not going to forget this. I've gotten a few comments. Thank you on last week's episode. And someone, I had talked about pre-cuts, and I referred to Bally Pop, Batik pre-cuts. And someone commented, said, oh, yes, I absolutely agree. They're horrible. But I realized that the pre-cuts I got at Thimble Pleasures, one of the quilts I'm working on, are actually not Bally Pops. So apparently, and I was in Thimble Pleasures the other day, and I took a picture, and I just don't have my phone with me, and I'm just too lazy to go find out. I will. Either at some other point in the podcast I will tell you, or I will post it in the show notes, or you can call me and say, now what were the other kinds? So I felt guilty after I published. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to change that. Before I published last, you know, episode 167, I was going to make an amendment at the very end, by the by, and I forgot, and then I got this comment from someone saying, oh yeah, they're terrible. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it turns out they're terrible anyway, as are these other ones, which I will tell you what they are maybe later. So I don't recall ever having problems with Moda pre-cuts, with the jelly rolls particularly. So I'm hoping if I do my young friend Carrie's quilt with the French General jelly roll that I like, that it's going to be A-okay. Fingers crossed. But anyway, I wanted to pass on that tip and share it with you and say it's a good tip. Make your binding in the beginning of things. Make your binding at the beginning of things. Or at least right after you finish making the quilt top. Go ahead then and make your binding. Because it's just such a nice thing. And now I look at my binding. It's sitting in a nice ceramic bowl on my sewing table. I'm like, excellent. Excellent. There's that binding that I've made already. Yay. All right, let me tell you about a book I'm reading. Because if I don't tell you now, of course, I will forget. And that is The Enchanted April by Elizabeth von... I want to say Anselm. And that may be wrong. I'll try to put a link with the correct name. You may have seen the movie Enchanted April. If you haven't, watch it. Sometimes it streams on Netflix. It's possible that it's now streaming for free on Netflix. And it's really lovely. And the book, it's very true to the book. And I was reading the Susan Branch blog. I don't know if you're a Susan Branch fan. I am, although sometimes I do wonder about Susan Branch. Like, how can she be cheerful all the time? She's so cheerful and happy and paints. She does watercolors. You see, if the name's not ringing a bell for you, you've seen her watercolors. And she does a lot of homey, like, recipe card and cookbook she does her own cookbooks, which I have a couple of and are really fun. And actually, I have good recipes. But she also does like recipe card binders and all this stuff. And it's all lovely and delightful. And her blog is lovely and delightful. And she lives on Cape Cod in a beautiful house with her husband, no children. They got married. She was, I think she was married when she was young and divorced. And then her second marriage happened a little later. Like, I think she was 39 or 40. Not that it's any of my business why she doesn't have children. But she does have a really big house for a woman who's only got a husband and two cats. But she's cheerful with, but she's also is smart, and she's always dropping literary quotes. So I don't hold her cheerfulness against her too much. But boy, yeah, she's nice. But anyway, but she was the one who has she has book recommendations, I think, posted on her website. And also in her wonderful book, A Fine Romance, which is about a trip she took to England a few years back, she talks about Enchanted April, as well as another book called Elizabeth and Her German Garden, which I have and have not finished, but it is quite delightful. These would be perfect books, and The Enchanted April, the novel is The Enchanted April, would be wonderful. Can you hear that motorcycle? I'm very tired of hearing that motorcycle. Anyway, would be a great book to read, like, in March or February. Like, whatever's the worst month of winter for you. Because, you know, it's all about this, you know, these two women who rent a castle in Italy for April, for the month of April. They live in England. They live in London, and it's raining. And to meet expenses, they advertise for two more roommates. And so these four women are sharing this castle. Good grief. Can you hear it? How long do I have to... Oh, no, that's a plane. See, in comparison, the cicadas and the crickets are so nice. I don't know that people hate them. I think sometimes people are a little freaked out by them. Don't worry. I'll do some recording in the morning one of these days. We go back to school in 2 weeks, which I have mixed feelings about. I think the boys are probably ready. And I think I'm probably ready to be back in a routine. But we have had very nice weather. And I kind of, you know, I don't know. I always say I'm not going to write in the summer, but I always end up writing in summer. Maybe next summer, when I rent that cabin in Vermont on the lake, I won't write. So, but I am reading The Enchanted April, among other things. I'm always reading 10 things at once. And it's just, it's very lovely. So I would recommend it, or if you're just in the mood for a good movie, watch Enchanted April. It's so, so lovely. All right, I think that's it for now. I'm going to go back and finish some things. And I don't know what's going to happen time-wise with this episode because we are going out of town. So I probably will have forgotten. By the time I post this episode, I probably will have forgotten everything I've said in the last 25, 30 minutes. But that's how it goes here in Francisville. So anywho, talk to you soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. I'm very sure of the year. The day, not so much. It is a beautiful summer day. I know that, like, all around us, all around the, like, it, once you pop out of the state of North Carolina, like, you go a little further south, it's like 100 degrees. I have no idea what's going on here, except that perhaps I have been so good all year about not complaining about the weather, that this is like the universe's way of saying, hey, have a little treat on me. Because it's like that today's high, 85. It's August, what do we decide, 12th? It's August 12th. How can it be just 85 degrees? It'll change. It's going up into the mid-90s next week. But that's August. I mean, you are spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally prepared for it to be 95 in August. You have no expectations that it would be otherwise, and here we are. It's about 11:30, so you can tell you can't just birds and Travis. I mean, you can hear a little minor buzz of the bugs, but not the roar of the cicadas. Any of it, I realize I can tell you about the other quilt that I'm making, because I'm making it for my mother for her birthday, which is actually not till the end of the month, but we are going to Kentucky, leaving tomorrow, And we're going to actually celebrate my mom's birthday this weekend. Now, typically, my dad's birthday is August 10th. And typically, we hit Kentucky very closer to his birthday. I guess we're kind of leaving that window. But for several years, it's like, got to Kentucky in time to celebrate my dad's birthday. And not just my family, my husband and children, but my brothers and their families. And it was sort of the gathering of the tribes. Now this year it's just going to be my younger brother and his children. His wife has a big, humongous grant she's writing. And my older brother can't get away from work. So it's just going to be me and the man, Jack and Will, my brother Doug and his two children. And it will still be very nice. But we're going to celebrate my mom's birthday instead of my dad's. And apparently, I hear there's rumors of ice cream cake, which I'm very excited about. Said Miss No Sugar in her diet, except just kind of every day. Now, I am so, at this point in my life, eat so little sugar. I actually have days where I eat no sugar, which is just a huge dramatic change in my life. But here's the deal. So my mom is actually, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this with you, but she's turning 80. You wouldn't think it by looking at her. She's very young looking. That's a lot of people will say to me. Not as much as they used to, but I used to get a lot of, I was like, oh, you don't look 50 or 40 or, you know, whatever, even 30. And so much of that is just genetic, and you feel weird about taking credit for that. And you're just like, yeah, it's just genes. My parents are young looking people. And my mom certainly does not look 80. And she doesn't act 80. She's quite sprightly and lively. But it seems like a pretty serious birthday, and I was thinking, what can I get her? Because you know, one of the things about being 80 is you kind of have a lot of stuff that you want, and you're a little bit more particular. At least I don't know if that's totally true of my mom. But even I, at 51, it's like, don't give me stuff I don't want. Don't make something up. You know, if you're thinking you'd like to give me a book, find out what books I want. But, you know, no doodads, no trinkets, no whatever. Don't do it. So I was thinking, what would be a good present? Because usually, you know, I might get a little fabric and a neat book, you know, quilting book or, you know, what have you. And I was like, but 80, what should I do? And you know what it occurred to me to do, sort of in late July, I guess, was why don't you make her a quilt? But that, you know, that is the funny thing about quilters is, you know, oftentimes, like if you know, it's like my mom and I both quilt and we make quilts for other people, but it never really occurred to me. It's like, oh, I can make my mom a quilt. You know, it's almost like, well, she can make her own quilt. She doesn't need me to make a quilt. But it's such a nice thing to be given a quilt, even if you're a quilt maker. And I certainly know a couple years ago when my mom was really sick and the quilters got together and made a beautiful quilt. I was looking at it today and thinking, what a lovely gift. What an amazing gift. And the quilt I made my mom, I don't think is quite that amazing, because when you realize, wow, I don't really have that much time to make a quilt, but why don't I do it? That's when I went looking for pre-cuts and found a pattern in the Scrap Basket Quilts book that I like a lot by, was it Brackman? Brackett? Kim Brackett, I think. It's Barbara Brackman. Now I'm not even sure if it's Kim Brackman. Brackett. I think it is. I wrote it on the label, by the way. So I'm done with the quilt. Actually, I'm all done with the quilt except for the washing, and there are actually a couple quilting spots I need to reinforce where just I didn't do a good job of securing the quilting when I came to the end of something. So I want to, but that's like going to take me 10 minutes tops, and then just it's all over but the quilting. No, it's all over but the washing. Yes, and I did wash, so I used Batiks, and this is the one that I used, whatever that brand of Batiks is, I will put it in the show notes, that I was not happy with how the pre-cuts were cut. It's really nice, so I will have a picture. I will take pictures before we pack up. Oh my goodness. You hear that? Before we pack up the quilt tomorrow to take on the road, but it's nice. It's mostly blues and greens with a little bit of yellow. It's a really pretty colorway, yellow that I like. Yellow kind of fading into kind of a, or not fading into, but melding into a grapefruit pink kind of thing. It's very pretty, and I made a label for it, and I did put from a design by Kim Brackett, which now I really hope is her name. I'm getting good about that. So Yes, so that's the other quilt that I was making. I was hoping to have my friend Dave's quilt quilted today, this week as well, but that's not going to happen. My plan is tonight is to actually, it's the top is done, but it's not even basted. So before we leave, I want to baste it and ponder the quilting. Now, that's the only thing. With my mom's quilt, one of the things that happened is I actually thought I had a couple more weeks to finish it. And I didn't realize this gathering in Louisville this weekend, we were going to celebrate my mom's birthday. That had not been revealed to me. And in fact, I emailed my dad about something, I think about like his birthday present. I said, well, we're just going to bring your present with us. And he's like, well, remember, this is all about your mother. And it's about celebrating her birthday. And my response was something like, well, that's good to know, because I had not been told that. And he very nicely called later, I think later that afternoon, and apologized. He said, I realize I've been talking with your brothers about this, but you talk more with your mother, which is true. And so I realized you actually didn't know that this was going to be all about your mother's birthday. And I didn't. But it's good to know, because that meant like, all right, because I knew I could finish it. I knew I could finish the quilt in time. It's not a huge quilt. I think it's like 48 by 48. But it did mean that I wasn't going to do anything fancy with the quilting. And I really didn't. I just did my old fallback, the sort of spiral quilting, which is very fun to do, and amazingly, one, no pleats on the back, yay, but also, you know, there was only one spot, like one block, where I actually tore out quilting and did it over, where I was just unhappy with my spirals. But usually, you know, I end up quilting a quilt three quarters of the way and then deciding I don't like it and then spending the next 2 weeks unquilting. So this was quite an advance in those terms. But I kind of, as I was doing the spirals, and it looks fine, it works with the quilt, it's fine. But I was seeing other things that I could have done with the quilting, which is actually really good for me, even, you know, just to go, oh yeah, now this is another way to have quilted this would have been this or that, but I didn't have the time. So with Dave's quilt, I also kind of, I want to finish it fairly quickly, the quilting. But I may do, it's, you know, if you look at the quilt top, it's really just, you know, it's a, what do you call it, a fence rail quilt. And the way that it's interesting standing back from it, the way that the colors work out is that it looks like a lot of rectangles. There are a lot of rectangles. And so I thought, well, I might do like square, you know, rectangle within a rectangle within a rectangle kind of quilting. That might be nice. And that will take a little longer than meandering or spirals or what have you, or pebbling. But I don't think it will take that much longer, and I think it will look good. So it better, because I don't want to spend 2 weeks tearing out the quilting. But in any event, so I finished my mom's quilt all, but a little bit of stitchery I want to do, and then the washing, and then we'll finish David's quilt next week. What did I want to tell you? Oh, you know, I hear something I was thinking about on my walk, and that's what I want to share. And then I think I actually will be done with this, and I will just post it when we get back Sunday night, or post it Monday, but actually have it ready to go. So kind of staying within my wheelhouse of not quite weekly, but almost weekly. But let me back up. So there's been discussion of, you know, I brought this up last week, like what blogs are you following? What podcasts that we might not know about? And Noni sent a good list, and I'm going to do my best to remember to post a link to her list of what she's listening to. She actually has a great thing on her blog where she explains, you know, here's what I'm listening to and why, and does a really nice synopsis of each podcast. So I'll try to link to that. And there's one that she and I both like, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but that's the Crafty Planner blog. In fact, I may have just mentioned it in the last Quilt Diary, but I did because of you know, Jackie from Modern Quilt Guild was on there. Jackie Gearing. So, which is a good episode to listen to. But, yeah, I listened to another one the other night when I was finishing up my mom's quilt, I guess Monday night. And I was just thinking about I'm actually going to go check this out. I want to be able to say, I believe the podcaster's name is Sarah. Let me check.
Okay. Her name, the Crafty Planner podcaster, is Sandy.
And she's been crafty her whole life. On her website, she writes that her mother is a wearable artist and quilter with pieces in the Fairfield Fashion Show and numerous Hoffman challenges. She grew up going to quilt shows and watching her mom dye fabric and work with hard-to-find fabrics. She has been a scrapbooker, and sewing and quilting became her passion after she learned about the modern quilt movement, and she's one of the founding members and the first president of the San Diego Modern Quilt Guild. Okay, so all this is up about Sandy. If you look at her picture, she looks young to me. Like, I mean, could be in her 20s, but I suspect is in her early 30s only because she's married and has a child. But maybe she's still in her 20s. I don't know. But here's the thing. She's a really, really good interviewer. And I'm excited because after her last podcast, the interview with Jackie, I left a comment saying, great interview, et cetera, et cetera. And do you think you'll ever interview Victoria Finley Wolf? And she posted a comment back saying, I may have a surprise for you in a few weeks. Wink, wink. So I'm hoping that surprise is, in fact, an interview with Victoria Finley Wolf. Because I'm a fan and I find her interesting, and I would like to read some more about her. I certainly have read, you know, I've read her book on the double wedding rings, and she writes a lot about herself, particularly about her, you know, her life story. Here's where she comes from. Here's how she got here, and I would love to know more about what she's doing right now. So, in any event, so I'm looking forward to that, but. We are with the Crafty Planner podcast, just up to episode 23. And a lot of these episodes are with quilters and designers. And I think there's some sewists. But anyway, and I haven't listened to all of them. But the ones I've listened to, I've just thought, again, I think that Sandy's a really good interviewer because partly she's knowledgeable. Right, she's been in this world, in this crafty world, her entire life. She knows about fabric. She knows about designers. She knows about making quilts. And she asks good questions. And she's comfortable with the people she's interviewing. She never gets, so far as I've noticed, like fangirly. And it never feels like the interview is like two people kind of just being fawning over each other. And saying, you're great. No, you're great. You know, it's a real interview, and these are real questions, and she often asks questions that I would have asked, or ask questions like, oh, yeah, I'd love to know the answer to that. So I was thinking about how much I like this podcast and how much I plan to go through it with 23 episodes. I think I can probably cover them all at some point. But I was also thinking about that she does interview. Like, I just listened to her interview with Malka Dabrowski, who designs a lot of fabric for Moda. You know, she's interviewing people who are designing quilts, are doing quilt patterns, or doing books, all this stuff. And it made me think about what Peppercore said when she came to our guild meeting earlier in the spring, talking about how important designers and fabric lines have become and certainly when we for crafters, for quilters, that particularly in this younger generation, people know who the designers are, they know the fabric lines, they know the fabric houses, that this information is important. It's part and having this information in some ways is part of, well, this is me extrapolating. Okay, so that's what Peppercore said. But on my walk perhaps yesterday, I was thinking about it and thinking, yeah, that information is a way of gaining entrance into a group. I actually think there are a couple things going on here. One, there's just a lot of stuff out there, right? There's a lot of people designing fabric. There's a lot of brands. There are a lot of, and it can be overwhelming. I mean, there's just a lot of fabric. But one way to deal with that, this excess of riches, is to follow certain designers and certain fabric lines, right? Where it's like, and it narrows, in some ways, it narrows the field for you. If you know you're really happy with American brown fabrics, the cotton What is that? American Cottons? What is it? I've talked about it recently. You know, here I am. Again, not knowing what I'm talking about. No, but you know, so the cottons, when I was seeking an alternate to Kona fabric, which drives me crazy, it was the American brands that people suggested, and which I think is wonderful. And so now that's, so I've got my cottons, my solid cottons, what I always sew with cottons. I've got my solids, right? From now on, I know where to go to. I know what fabric line I want to order from, because this one, because I have ordered from it, and it's really nice fabric. If I'm, you know, I don't know Tula Pink from Tula Purple, quite frankly. Although it's fun for me now, like if I'm in Thimble Pleasures and I'm looking at fabric and I see that this is Tula Pink fabric, I'm like, oh, cool, Tula Pink, I've heard of her. But if you know that you like what her designs, then you look for it. When you're searching online, you search Tula Pink, you search these designers you like. And it helps, again, narrow the field. So I think that's got to be part of it. But I also think it is a kind of membership card to know this stuff, to know who the designers are, to know who's, I keep wanting to say, I'm thinking about in terms of book publishing, who publishes with who? Who's got who for an agent? You know, not quite that, but kind of similar. It's like, who are the people in this business we need to follow? Who are the people in this business doing interesting work? It's become a business more and more, I think, of personalities, although the personalities are expressed through fabric, through patterns, not so much, you know, who's, you know, actual personality. But, yeah, so I think, and because so many of us, and particularly younger quilters and crafters, come into it horizontally, as opposed to having it handed down to us vertically. It's not true of everyone, but certainly for me, although my mother's a quilter, she wasn't a quilter when I was growing up. There's so many people I know, they don't come from quilting households. They became quilters because they loved quilts, or they saw something on a blog and said, I want to be able to do that. They came to it through other crafts. So they came into it horizontally. It wasn't just handed to them as part of their heritage. So when that happens, it's like, and you want to be part of the tribe, right? Because the tribe seems very active. If you go on, you know, there are lots of blogs, there are podcasts. I wish there were more podcasts. There are just lots of people doing lots of stuff. There's lots of discussions about Quilt Festival and Quilt Con and the various things, the gathering places, and who's there and who's teaching, who's the good teacher, who you know, all of that. And I also think a lot of people have dreams about becoming designers themselves, becoming, making a living as designers, pattern writers, teachers, right? It seems like a good kind of life to have, although I suspect it really doesn't make that much money unless you are Tula Pink or Amy Butler or whomever. So, but it's a fun kind of dream to have, like, oh, what if I, you know, I've got a blog and I'll set up an Etsy shop and all of that. So it's like, but you want to be part of the tribe where all that information is swirling around, all that energy is swirling around. And to be part of the tribe, you've got to know what the language is. You've got to know what the liturgy is. You've got to know what the rituals are. You need to know what the magic words are, you know. And right now the magic word is Tula Pink. I just love that name, and I could say it all day, and I might, my next episode just might be me going, Tula Pink, Tula Pink, Tula Pink. It sounds like something a bird would say, quite frankly. So I think that's part of it as well. It's like, all right, how do I announce myself, define myself as a quilter, as a crafter, as someone who deserves membership, since the membership has not been handed to me, right? And I can do this all on my own, but really I want to be part of the tribe. So part of the membership is knowing who the gods are, I think. Knowing what the magic names are, knowing what the talismans are, all of that. So I think that's part of it. And it also does. I mean, you know what the passwords are. And it's true of anything. And, you know, the man has told Jack, Jack's not very into sports, and the man has mentioned to him, it's like, you know, you might consider following baseball, which is the most literary of sports. It's a sport that's very nice for a Saturday afternoon. Although there's not a lot of baseball on Saturday afternoons, but once upon a time, you could kind of stretch out on the couch on a Saturday afternoon, doze a little, watch a little, But it's, but you know, it's, he said, it's a nice thing. It's a good thing to, you know, if you are among men, to be able to talk about a sport, and just say a few things about how the Mets played or the Cardinals played last night. And again, it's a kind of entrance into the group. It's a membership card saying, yeah, I'm a guy. I'm a guy kind of into sports. Sure. Let me into your tribe. So that's my thinking. Just me as a amateur folklorist and anthropologist. Like, why this great interest? I do think there's also that a lot of younger quilters who say are in their 20s and early 30s have come up in a great age of design. You know, they've always known Target as this place that has really cool looking stuff, whereas a lot of us know Target as a formerly pretty crappy store that made a big change and now is really fun to walk around, and everybody has the same Target store. Yeah, I came to buy one thing and I spent $100. It's that kind of store because there's so much great design in it. And so I do, and Apple products, there's so much great design. And these younger people really have grown up with it. It's part of, you know, so, and they're interested in who's doing the work. And it's also part of a DIY culture, right? Who's doing the work? Who's making that design? I want to do what she's doing. So those are my thoughts, my anthropological folklorist thoughts on one of the reasons, just one of the reasons that I think that a lot of people are actually interested in design, designers and fabric lines, and keep up with it. It's also, you know, I would have to imagine, it'd be interesting to know historically when that started happening. Because it's hard to imagine back in the day, I mean, even back in the early part of the Great Quilt Revival, that beyond Laura Ashley, people actually knew who was designing fabrics. So that's my thought. I could be totally off base. You can tell me. Or you might have different thoughts. This may have sparked thoughts within you that you didn't know you had. But I think partly this all this interests me because I'm not particularly that way. It's fun for me to be able to walk into Thimble Pleasures, and I mean, obviously, you can, who could not recognize Kay Fassett? But you know, it partly, and his stuff is always just right up front. So, but you know, but there are a number of designers whose work I now recognize, and that's kind of fun. You know, it kind of makes you feel like you have a more thorough knowledge of what's going on in your world. But in general, I find, you know, it's almost like too much knowledge for me. I mean, not knowing who Kay Fassett is, but to try to keep up with different designers and pattern writers and teachers and all of that. I got a lot of stuff going on in my head to begin with, so I'm not sure that at age 51 I have enough room to take that on. But so it's interesting to me, and I noticed it, you know, even before I was quilting and was doing a lot more knitting, it was the same thing. There were certain names that were important, there were certain brands of yarn that were really important there, yeah, and all of that. So it's not just in quilting. I think it's in other crafting areas as well. But back then too, I was just like, I don't know how you keep up with it. I don't know how you keep up with who's designing what, but people do, and I think it's fascinating that they do. So those are my thoughts. I have no others. I'm done. I think I will end up here, and maybe before we leave, do the introduction, so that we could actually have a podcast up and running next week. So and next week, if I complained about the weather, I guess next week would be the week, but I don't, so I won't. So don't worry about it. Don't tense up. It's not going to happen. I hope you are having a good week. I hope you're getting some quilting done. I saw something on Instagram. I'm on Instagram now. I barely post. I've posted like 6 things. But if you're on Instagram, some of you I'm already following, but let me know, because I'm looking for more people to follow on Instagram. But I saw some following, is it the scrappy quilter, not Bonnie Hunter, but like Ija, you know who I'm talking about. She's from Eastern Europe. She makes great scrappy quilts, kitchen sink quilts. What is she? She has a name for them. Anyway, sitar, maybe? See, this is why I don't follow designers, because I'm like, you know, that one who does that thing with fabric, you know? Little pieces of fabric, and her name is something like Edith Saturn. I don't know. Yeah, see, that's a really big reason why I don't follow any designers. I can't remember anyone's names. But there was a picture of, I'm following this very famous person whose name I don't know on Instagram. And there's a great picture of her, and she does a lot of mini quilts, not mini, not M-I-N-I-M-I-N-I, mini, mini, M-A-N-Y, M-I-N-I. Okay, we're just spiraling out of control here. No, I meant that, mini, not the tiny quilts, but, you know, like 12 inch by 12 inch and 20 inches by 20 inches kind of quilts, or 20 inches by 12 inch. Anyway, and she puts them on her stair, you know, on the wall next to her staircase, going up the stairs, and I have an empty wall. And I've been, and it's a very steep wall, and so to hang photo, I've thought about getting the man to hang a series of his photographs, although he's a little, we do have some of his photographs up around the house, and he's a little wary of that. I think he feels like it's him showing off. But when I saw those mini quilts of that nice lady whose scrap quilts I like and you are familiar with, on her stairwell wall, I thought, oh, that's a great idea. That would be a fun project. By the way, I got a comment from Sherry D. You know, we're supposed to be doing this Dresden plate thing, quilt along. And, you know, I should have known better to encourage Sherry D to make her think that, oh yeah, I'm going to get into this. It's like I got an email from a friend who's going to do a farmer's wife quilt along, and I love those farmer's wife blocks, but I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing, you know, I said I was going to do the block of a month, the Ginny Byers free block of the month on Craftsy, not doing it. So I should have just told Sherry, this is such a wonderful idea and I love it so much, but I'm not going to be good for it. I mean, I'm making the quilts, it's not that, but I tried to like post pictures on Flickr, and I have some sort of Flickr account. I did at one point, and I couldn't figure out how to get on it, and so that for me was just like, okay, I can't do this, which I know is silly. So anyway, Sherry commented, and she said that she was afraid that it was that our Dresden plate quilt along was dead in the water, and I'm afraid she's right, and I feel like I've disappointed her, or just not been a good quilt along friend, and I'm sorry about that. But maybe you're thinking, oh no, I've actually made some plates and I'd like to post them to the Flickr group. Let me know if that's true, and I'll hook you up with Sherry D, and we can make it happen. And I'm so bad at this stuff. See, I should just know myself better. But people get enthusiastic, and I get enthusiastic in response, and I think, yeah, I'm going to do it this time. This time, I'm going to make that happen. And then I'm just bad quilter friend. Bad quilt along friend. Yes, anyway, so, but it's not too late. We could revive it. We could revive it, right? Yes, we could. So, all right, I think I was trying to end up here, and I'm just, yeah, going into full mode ramble. So, full ramble mode. Let's stop and listen to the birds. Okay, now they go completely silent. All right, do some good work. Leave a comment. I'll talk to you soon. Quilt first. No. Let me start over. Life is short. Quilt first. Bye.